Happy Sunday, you guys, or Saturday, if you're one of our patrons and gets to see this shit early. This is Matinee 78.
Yeah.
We did two Netflix and one Shudder.
Yeah, what were they?
Marianne, yeah. Tiger King, oh, and yeah. Daniel Isn't
oh,
Real.
Oh, shit, Tiger.
So, yeah, that'll okay. probably be a long segment.
Okay.
But yeah, so two of these are actually series, and one of them is a movie. So, the first one that I watched was Marianne. Now, this actually came out, it dropped on Netflix back in September, mid-September of 2019, and there was a lot of buzz about it, like on, you know, different horror sites and stuff like that, and people kept, like, recommending it to me, and I kept saying, I'll get around to it, and finally, now this many months later, I finally got around to watching it. I guess because it's harder for me to, like, watch, a series because I know I'll get like involved and then I'll have to like watch it over successive nights and it's like a big time commitment. So sometimes I'll put off series like longer than I would a movie, which, you know, is over an hour and a half or whatever, because this is an 8-episode French horror series. Each episode's about an hour long, so it's about an 8-hour watch. I watched it over two nights. This was actually fucking excellent. And it seems like a lot of reviewers like said the same thing. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, even though it seemed to have like a lot of good buzz about it, it's not getting a second season, even though they left a little bit of a cliffhanger. You know, I'm not going to spoil anything if you haven't seen it yet, but they did leave it, you know, they wrapped up most things, but they did leave it open, you know, for a second season, you know, if they wanted to go in that direction. And I was kind of interested to see what was going to happen with that. But I guess we can't have everything. I guess I'm not going to get it because apparently they're not making another one.
I thought it looked well made, and I did see some special effects stuff, but it really didn't get me interested. It couldn't get me out of my damn tablet.
He's always staring.
I'd look up every now and then, you know what I mean? Go, oh, yeah, yeah. But then I'd look up and go, oh, that looks pretty cool.
I think then, that, you know, yeah,
it
I
just,
think
it wasn't for me, you know.
Most of the effects in this, and I feel like a lot of people will probably compare it to Haunting of Hill House, and I can see why you would, in the sense that this uses, like, very effectively, relies more on kind of, like, unsettling imagery rather than, say, jump scares and stuff. But tonally, it's... Honestly, this is kind of more like it was very Stephen King. It had a very Stephen King kind of vibe. Had a little bit of It going on in there, like some other shit like this. Not exactly like that, but and I guess because it was set like in like a small coastal town in France called Eldon, so it had that kind of feel to it. You know what I mean? With that kind of Stephen King small town Maine type of thing going on, and having to go back to their hometown where they haven't been for a long time to like fight an evil that has returned. So it kind of had that sort of vibe to it. So in that way, and I know this is going to be like a bold statement because I loved Haunting of Hill House, I actually liked this slightly better. I thought this was paced a bit better. It's like it wasn't quite as slow. You know what I mean? And I don't have a problem with that generally. Like, you know, and like I said, I love Haunting of Hill House, so don't get that, you know, but like I said, these are very different. Another way that I think this was kind of more Stephen King-like was that they very effectively threaded some humor in there. It's not like zany or wacky, like over the top humor. Most of the humor comes from Inspector Ronan, like this kind of really weird, like inspector character, but I loved him. He was fucking great. So I think they really successfully kind of mashed all these things together with like humor and horror. And I think it was like largely successful. So the story basically is that there's this girl named Emma and, Emma Larsimon, and she is like a very famous horror writer. And her most famous series has been, you know, this series about a demon or a witch or something like that named Marianne. And she has invented this kind of like paranormal investigator character that fights her. Now, at the beginning of the series, she has decided she doesn't really want to write horror anymore. And so she kills off her main character. And at this point, shit starts to get really weird. Like, this person turns up that was a friend of hers, like, from a long time ago, the old hometown, and brings her some very unusual things and is telling her that she has to go back home or, like, all this bad shit is going to happen. So as it goes on, like I said, I'm going to not spoil it because I really think people should watch this because it's really, really good. But she basically has to go back to this shitty town that she thought that she would never go to. It's not a shitty town, but she, you know, she left it when she was a kid. And she has to go back to this town and kind of like fight this evil that has returned. And there's like a reason why it has come back and all this other kind of stuff. So it kind of goes along that route. She kind of like reconnects with a lot of her, you know, old friends who are all grown up now. And, you know, has to fight this thing that has, you know, come back for them and is threatening, you know, people in her family and her friends and things like that. Now, one thing I will say about this, that this, I believe, I'm not entirely certain, but some of the other reviews I saw of this said that this was largely practical effects. Like a lot of the kind of demon stuff and like the stuff in her nightmares and all that kind of stuff. I believe most of it was done with puppetry. With just a little bit of CGI sprinkled on top. And if so, it looked really good. And there's like some really, I mean, some of it obviously was CGI, like with some of the demonic effects, like with the mouth stretching and, you know, the glowing eyes and stuff like that. That was CGI, but I think that most of the demon stuff was puppets and they really, really look cool. I will say that this series, even from like the first episode, had some of the most unsettling imagery that I've ever seen, like in a horror series. It was scarier than Haunting of Hill House, I thought, just because, and a lot of it comes from like not monsters or jump scares or there's a couple of jump scares, but not really. It's mostly the first two or three episodes, particularly. There's this one woman in there, Madame Dojeron, and she is hosting like Marianne, I guess you want, if you want to say that. This woman, I don't know if they did something to her face, like with makeup or with CGI or something like that, but this is the freakiest fucking looking woman. Like the expressions she makes and all this other kind of stuff. And it doesn't look like they did anything weird to her face. It just looks like she's really, really good at making these really, really unsettling expressions that really make you. So I think like the first part of it where she's in it, because she's in it through the whole thing, but it's like, you know, there's a lot of her like in the first two or three episodes and she's great. She's like fucking dynamite. She's super, super fucking creepy. And just these creepy fucking expressions that she makes. I also love a lot of the demon faces, which you kind of see just very briefly, are really, really creepy, really unsettling. There's this one great scene, I think it might be in the first episode, where, and this actually really kind of freaked me out because this shit kind of freaks me out because I have nightmares like this. But where she's like laying in bed next to her boyfriend and she wakes up, or she thinks she wakes up, and he's like turned his back toward her because, you know, he's mad at her because she went out and got drunk when they were supposed to go do something. And so he says, she says to him, because they're fighting, she's like, oh, well, you know, turn around. And he says very creepily, are you sure you want me to turn around? And I was like, oh, no, this is going to be so bad. And then like when he turns around, it's like this is really, really creepy.
So did you like the series?
Yeah, I loved it. Okay. I thought it was really, really good. You know, it came out a while back, so I know like some of you have seen it because I know some of you have recommended it to me and stuff. If you like Haunting of Hill House, if you like It, if you like Stephen King type stuff, I think you will really dig this. Yes, it's in French. You can watch it dubbed. I've heard mixed reviews of the dubbing. I do not like dubbing, so I never watch it. Some people said the English dub was really good and like not noticeable. Some people said the English dub was terrible. So I don't know. Your mileage may vary. If you don't mind dubbing, then watch it dubbed. But I watched it subtitled and it's much better.
The reason why I didn't like it is that early on in the series, they didn't seem to really make an attempt to get you into the characters at all. From my point of view, I just thought the characters were kind of bland and uninteresting. It looked like it got better as it unfolded, but it happened a little too late for me. You know what I mean? A series has to catch me early. You know what I mean? It's like 10, 15, 20 minutes. To me, it just kind of had that kind of European stale feeling to me.
Where see, I didn't get that at all.
I got it. Well, when I was looking up later, it looked like it got a little bit better. But it started off on the wrong foot for me. I didn't really care about the main characters.
Now, I will say that the main character, she comes off initially as a little bit unlikable.
Yeah,
it goes on, there's a reason why she's like that, and it ties in directly like with the plot and what's going on with the story, and you come to like sympathize more and more with her. And I actually really liked the woman that played her assistant, Camille, I really liked her. So I think it was good that they paired those two up, because Camille was a lot more likable, a lot more sympathetic character. So they paired those two up. So if you didn't like Emma, then you, like, there was someone else there that you could relate to, feel sorry for. I did like Emma because, you know, like I said, even though she came off as a little unlikable, you could tell that there was a reason why.
That would probably work in a book, but to me, it doesn't work in a movie or a series. You know what I mean? Because I don't think it makes a good impression. I just think it was a, you know, maybe you know, artistically, when it comes to writing, that might have been a good decision. But it's, in terms of an entertainment, I think it's a poor decision. You want the characters to be likable, and you want to bring the audience in very early so you can keep them. You know, if I don't like it within 10 or 15, 20 minutes, I'll turn it. I lose all interest. And it's kind of like it leaves a bad impression and it doesn't ever really recover. They're just, you know, telling the truth.
Yeah. But, well, like I said, I really love this, and it seemed like most people that watched it really loved it. You know, so if you haven't seen it, definitely check it out. Like I said, I tried not to spoil anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't mind, like, European horror and stuff like that, like I said, if you liked Haunting of Hill House, you would probably dig this as well. It's actually a bit faster paced and has, like, more shit going on.
It's not getting renewed, so maybe a lot of people felt the way I did. You know what I mean?
Well, like I said, all the
people that watched it and went through the whole thing liked it, but I it must have not been successful with the market because it turned them off early.
Maybe. Or like I said, there could be a million other reasons why it wasn't renewed.
Could be.
But to me,
it felt bland and uninteresting for that first 20, 30 minutes, and I was just checked out.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get that impression. So.
Yeah.
Your mileage may vary, like
I
said.
It depends on the person.
But if you like horror and if you like horror series and it sounds like something you would dig, then definitely check it out. It's still there on Netflix if you want to watch it. If you got an 8-hour time commitment, then, probably most people do because they're sitting at home right now. If you want something to watch, then check it out. So finally, what you've all been waiting for, we've been hinting around at, like, watching this on the Sidetrack show, but now we can give it our full and undivided attention. This is the batshit crazy that is known as Tiger King, the original Netflix series.
I'm so glad that I watched this series. It was very educational.
That's one way of putting it.
You know what I mean? It kind of brought me to a new level of understanding, you know, of watching this shit. How fucked up some people can be. I mean, these people were fucked up.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious, man. No, it's not hilarious. It's not hilarious. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's what it is. This one is like required viewing. You have to see this.
Yeah. I mean, and I feel like every review I've read of it is like pretty much says the same thing.
It does?
That it's just like, this is the craziest
I haven't seen any reviews.
You will ever watch.
You have to see this.
It's really
there's so much something. Shit that does not make fucking sense. People that don't make sense. Groups of people that don't make sense. Doing things that don't make sense. Making videos that don't make sense. Just music videos that don't make sense.
This is literally an unbelievable story. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
You'll have a person who has so many different clashing and contradicting fucking elements to that person. You're like, how could that be happening in one person?
In one person.
This is fucking ridiculous.
I don't understand. I just, you know what?
It wasn't fake. Shit was real.
No, that's what I mean. You don't get the sense that these are like people that are playing it up for the camera or anything of that nature. These are like the way that these people really are. And it happens like even in the first 10 minutes. I think, you know what, because I had been watching the end of Marianne, and then we started watching this one. We watched the first episode, and within the first 5 minutes, I said to him, because he was like in the bathroom, I said, I already love this. I already love this. Like in the first 5 minutes, I said, I can already tell this is going to be the most lunatic, this fucking Looney Tunes fucking show. It's like, it's I don't want to say that it's like just, oh, it's so crazy and wacky and everything like that. It is. It's like entertaining, but it's also one of those things where
it's very real.
And it's also kind of tragic. And then you feel bad for watching it. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like that.
Yeah.
It's the fucking.
Yeah. And, you know, this is something where it's very difficult to review this without spoiling some of the fucking greatest elements of this reality series. You just have to let it unfold because you're introduced into... This series introduces you to a scene and a group of people in a scene, and it doesn't tell you everything all at once.
It lets it unfold. Yeah.
And then you realize how wrong you were as you watch it.
Yeah.
So you're forming these opinions, and then an episode later, you're like, wait a minute, hold on.
Well, see, this is why you should never form opinions before you have all the information.
Until you have all the
information. Because you never know where the shit is going. And like I said, I believe that this documentary was filmed over a 5-year period.
Yeah.
So some of the stuff that unfolded like in real time, like while the documentary makers were making it, and they must have just been like, woo, cha-ching. You know what I mean? Like as this got, because it just gets more and more batshit
fucking crazy
as time goes on.
It's crazy enough to where people actually get killed and people actually go to prison. That's how fucking crazy this shit is.
And not even, it's like even the craziest shit on there is like stuff that doesn't even... I don't even know, man. It's like stuff that doesn't even result in anyone dying or anyone going to jail or anything like that. Just some of the most what the fuck moments in the show. And which then, is just one what the fuck moment after another this show.
Yeah.
Is.
Now, a lot of this takes place in Florida.
Well, Oklahoma, most of it takes place.
Well, what about all the fucking, all those little tiger farms were in Oklahoma?
Joe Exotics was, yeah.
But the main one. But the other ones, they were in Florida, weren't they?
Yeah. Because Carol's was in Tampa?
Tampa.
Maybe,
I think. Yeah.
But yeah, and, Joe Exotic, then, the main and then, guy, and then, was in
and
Oklahoma.
Then Tony Montana, the fucking drug dealer, was in
that
Florida.
That was Miami, yeah.
Miami, all right. And then the other guy with the damn harem of women was Florida.
Doc Antle.
That was
I don't
Florida,
know
wasn't?
If that was Florida, or that might have been somewhere else.
Okay.
I can't remember.
It looked like Florida. From the terrain.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't remember.
And the trees and shit. So, you know. But it's just... I thought the horse scene was bad. My fucking family is involved with the English equestrian horse scene since I was a little kid. And weird shit happens in fucking dudes that own barns and trainers and fucking girls that ride horses and the fucking weird shit that they do. If a girl likes horses and she's got ponies and shit, don't trust her. That's my experience. Can't trust her. Fucking, and if a dude is a trainer, be careful around that dude and all his women. All right, it's just this fucking weird thing that happens in the fucking horse. Well, I thought the horse scene was bad.
Yeah, you thought that was crazy.
The fucking big cat scene's like on steroids.
Every single person is a lunatic.
It attracts lunatics.
Every single person
and real lunatics
in different. Right. And entertaining ways.
Yeah.
And sometimes murderous ways.
Yeah.
But they're all lunatics.
Lunatics, yeah.
It's just, I mean, okay.
Like
now,
four times what a horse lunatic is.
I mean, obviously this is based on a true story, and they've already done, like, Joe Exotic, who's kind of the main character. There's lots of other characters kind of swirling around him. But a lot of people knew him. They've done, like, a whole 6-part podcast series on him. He was in, like, The New Yorker. Like, they did a big thing about him. Back then, and a lot of people heard of him because he ran for president back in 2016, and then he ran for governor, and his campaign was so hilarious, like all his campaign videos and stuff like that, that I think they showed him like on The Daily Show and stuff like that. So he kind of got a national platform around then, just as being like this crazy character. But I don't think people realize the extent to which shit was going on behind the scenes. It's like, and it's really sad because I don't know. It's like, I don't really want to. This is one of those things where this series, there are really no heroes. I mean, other than, you know, a lot of the employees of Joe Exotic and a lot of the employees of other, you know, the other people that are around the periphery, a lot of them seemed like perfectly nice, normal people generally. But all of the main players in this.
Fucking crazy.
Are crazy, and I think some of them might be criminals.
Yeah.
Well, some of them definitely are criminals. Some of them just allegedly are criminals, but they don't have any proof and stuff like that. So it's really hard to, you know, I have my own ideas about some stuff that happened during a lot of this fiasco, if we call it that. But I don't really want to say because. You know, sometimes there's no proof either way. Like, some people probably should be in jail that are not in jail.
Now, we're saying criminals. We're not talking about like a fucking Ronald McDonald type burglar, Hamburglar, the dude with the mask and the fucking the stereotypical running around. They're not like that. They're just fucking, they have no problem with breaking rules and regulations. They have no problems with fucking shit that would fucking get you 20, 30 years in prison. They just do it. Yeah. And they don't even think it's wrong.
You know, yeah, these fucking are almost, because I feel like, especially if you're going to, maybe the reason that this, that the big cat business, for what, if, you know, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, and there's not supposed to be a big cat business.
It's illegal.
You can't sell any of that shit.
It's technically illegal.
Right.
You know, you can't like buy, trade them, you can't sell the babies,
you can't sell
the fur,
you can't do
anything like that because they're in danger.
They seem to be doing all that, actually.
Yeah.
Because I saw a damn lion skin. I saw a lion skin in the background of that guy's trailer.
Yeah.
He had a fucking lion skin. You know, yeah, lions were dying off of that in that farm. They had 200 of them. Of course, some of them are going to die every now and then. Old age, disease, whatever.
Yeah.
But he had that fucking lion skin sitting back there, which immediately I immediately thought, I bet you they're skinning those lions after they die and selling that shit.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, yeah. You know, allegedly, it wouldn't surprise me a lot of things because a lot of people that worked for them, you know, later on they would say stuff, you know, they were, you know, killing, well, like once the babies got like past the stage where they could charge people to come and pet them and stuff like that, which is also illegal,
yeah.
That they were gassing them and stuff. And it just seems like really sad because what got lost in all of this was the cats.
Yeah.
It does seem like at least Joe Exotic and probably Carol Baskin and stuff like that. It does seem like initially their intentions were good.
Yeah, none of these people's intentions were good.
But I don't think that it ended up that way. Like, I do think that he started out, I mean, he's always been like kind of a crazy character. But I do think that at first he genuinely did care for the cats. But I think as he got nuttier and nuttier,
you need a lot of money to keep something like that rolling.
Yeah.
So you have to start doing crooked shit in order to get the money to feed the damn tigers. So there's all kinds, and then to pay the employees. And a lot of them didn't look like they were getting paid. And it wasn't just his place. All the other tiger places were like that, too. I ended up getting kind of torn because, you know, I have a fucking agricultural background when it comes to horses and shit. You know, agricultural, but, you know, farming type background when it comes to horses and stuff. People always say, you got to let those horses go. You let the horses go, they all die. All right? Their habitat's pretty much gone. They were selectively bred to be, you know, ridden and to work horses. If you let a horse go, he just comes right back to the stall.
Yeah. At this point, they're domesticated.
They're domestic. Just like, let that cat go. Let that dog go. They'll just come right back home. So you have to take care of the horses. You're a custodian of their existence. Well, that's kind of the way these tigers are now. Because there are more tigers in captivity in places like this than there are out in the wild. If you let them go, they'll all die because there's not enough, the land can't bear them. There isn't enough food out for them, so they hunt their prey to extinction because they're now in Africa on a little small, and Asia, in little small plots of land. So that land can't support the tiger population that you have. It can only support the wild ones, which is about, I think it's about half.
I think there's only 5,000 tigers left in the wild.
Right.
I'm not sure about other ones.
So if you want tigers in the damn future, if you care about tigers, then that means you have to have a breeding population of tigers in captivity to ensure the survival of that species, because it's going to go extinct in
the wild. I don't have a problem with that at all, but don't let these jokers do it.
But here's the weird thing. All the fucking zoos who take care of them the right way are buying them from these guys, even though they're hiding that fact. But that's where the zoos are getting them.
Yeah.
So it's a whole gray world of fucking dealing with these tigers. The only way these tigers and lions are going to survive long term is if they can somehow survive the way house cats and dogs have, to where they start to evolve alongside man. That's the only way they're going to make it. They're going to make it in man's custody. But you don't want these dudes doing it.
That's what I mean.
And they're the only dudes doing it, though.
Yeah. It's like, that's why I don't have a problem at all with having regulations on this kind of shit, because you just don't want some crazy hillbilly, like, essentially out in Oklahoma.
The problem with the regulations is that administrations change out, and eventually you get lunatics in the government who will regulate something like this out of existence based on shit they know nothing about. Okay, they, oh, well, we can't do that. Well, the next thing you know, all the breeders are gone, and then the tigers disappear, and the tigers are now extinct.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to protect the tiger, and then the tiger goes extinct.
Like I said, I think that there, particularly if an animal is endangered, yes, there should be a breeding program, and if you have to keep them in captivity for X amount of time. Yeah. But like I said, I don't think that there, I don't think there should be any controversy about just not letting
any old dude
lunatic like raise them like in his backyard and
stuff. It seems to be only lunatics are interested in these things, which that's weird.
Well, at least on this show,
on
this,
everyone's a lunatic. Right? Yeah,
they're all like.
There's a dude here, lives down here, used to be one of the Tarzans. I don't know if he's still alive, but he was an old man last I heard about him. He had a bunch of lions, but they were in his private collection, you know, of lions. And they lived in a damn house with him. There's only these farms in Florida. Weird. I think he had 3 or 4. That's some weird shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, he raised them kind of like house cats. Now, they all claim that they're rescues. Oh, they're rescued, all right. Rescued from these dudes right here then for money. That's how they rescued him. Here.
Yeah, because there's a whole black market.
There's a whole black market for them.
Because obviously people that want them are going to get them, you know, and they have to do black market nowadays because it's not legal to sell or trade them.
And contrary to what people believe, you know, in some countries you can keep them as pets, you know, especially in the Middle East, you know, rich people own them as pets. They make a good pet. They're a social animal.
Well, depending on how early you get them.
Yeah, depending on how, they'll bond with a human. They'll just, and they're like, they're a social animal. They're kind of like having a big dog. But the problem is that every now and then, if you try to play with your cat can bite you and hurt you. I've been, you know, bitten by one of my cats. It was an accident, though.
Yeah.
I was trying to,
it got, and he had to go to the hospital.
I had to go to the hospital. One of these things goes off on you, man. They weigh 400 fucking pounds. Fucking huge claws and huge teeth that bite right through you.
And it happens in this.
And it shows it in this. You know what I mean? Where
in the, just, I think it's the first episode.
Yeah. And he just walked in one time with a little bit of perfume that fell on his damn shoe. And a fucking lion tried to take the shoe off his foot.
Started dragging
him
around.
But he was in it. It was a boot. It couldn't, you couldn't get the shoe off. So, you know, you have to see how that shit goes, you know. It's just misunderstandings could happen. They're powerful animals.
Yeah, they're very large, and they can eat you in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and they might like you, but then the next thing, one thing leads to another, and they've just... They're killing you.
That's what I mean. Because, you get on their wrong side one day. You don't know, like, you know, just a little bitty cat. Yeah. They, you know, they'll turn on you and scratch you.
For a few seconds and then they forget about it.
Yeah. But, you know, if that happens with a lion or a tiger, you're dead. Yeah.
So you can't make any
mistakes.
And then
it'll eat your face.
You can't make any mistakes with them.
Yeah. And it really does seem to me that, you know, particularly with Joe Exotic's thing and, you know, mainly because that's kind of what this focuses on. I mean... He hired ex-cons, which is fine. Most of them seem like perfectly lovely people.
Yeah, most of them do anything wrong.
But he also...
You notice those ex-cons are running around with guns, too.
Yeah.
They didn't even say anything about that, because they had to have guns for security, because people were breaking in and harassing the shit, and fucking, next thing you know, a tiger could turn on you, and you might have to shoot a tiger.
Yeah.
Though they didn't want to admit it, but they show him using... He doesn't shoot the tiger, or it was a lion.
It was a lion, actually.
He didn't shoot the lion, but he shoots at the lion to get the lion...
To let go of him.
But yeah, they never really mentioned that there were a lot of felons running around with guns and holsters.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the laws are in Oklahoma.
Well, federal laws and state laws, it just depends on whether or not you're considered a felon at the time.
Yeah, because some of them I don't really know what they did. They just said, I mean, it might not have been that big a deal.
And then there might be certain laws, well, you can carry them on a job like this, on a farm, on private property. Maybe they could do something like that. You know, you can handle a firearm. I don't know. I don't really think, I think in a lot of cases, you know, if you're on private property and it's some kind of a farm or a business, I don't think laws are real, or they don't think they really worry about it much.
Yeah. But what I was going to say was that, you know, not only that, but he also had, everybody in this is polygamous for some reason. You know, weird. No judgment.
Yeah.
But basically, I mean, he had two husbands who I think were only
blew it.
Kind
that
of...
That dude's gay. We didn't even mention that.
Well, everybody knows that.
They didn't know that now. But you look at the dude and you're like, I don't know any gay dude that looks like that, man. Every gay dude that we know, what that motherfucker knows how to dress. He's got good taste. This guy looks like something off of WWE from back in fucking 1985.
In his music videos, 84. You guys.
Yeah.
I just feel like his husbands, at least one of them, kind of first started hanging out with him because of meth.
Yeah.
I mean, because he had meth.
So
I feel like it's not a good situation. He's keeping 200 big cats, tigers and lions, on his compound or whatever. And people are, like, paying to come see them. He has, like, other animals, too. He had, like, alligators and all this other kind of shit. So, but he has, like, a bunch of people running around who aren't really trained in this type, in veterinary medicine or, you know, handling big animals. And they're all on a bunch of drugs.
Yeah, and they're running around with guns shooting at each other for fun.
It's not an ideal situation. Nah. Let's put it that way. It's just, like, crazy. His shit is the craziest, but then they go into Doc Antle, for Christ's sake, who is essentially running what appears to be a cult.
In every sense of the word, it's a cult. It's a him and a harem of women, which, hey, if they want it, I don't have a problem, you know what I mean?
As long as it's all consensual, it's good,
but the way he's recruiting... And this is what I was getting back to the horse business. There was shit like this going on in the horse business. Yeah, if you have a barn and a bunch of fucking, you're a trainer and you got a bunch of fucking horses, you can also collect a harem of fucking young women. You can.
Evidently.
There's dudes that do it. Yeah.
I don't know if it's just the tigers luring the women or if he's got some other shit going on. I don't know what it is.
Especially girls that want to ride and they want horses and fucking they don't have any money, then you're going to get snapped up by a trainer. That's what's going to happen. Right. And I don't know what it is. It's these girls and these fucking horses. I was raised around it, so I didn't have the fascination. And being a boy, I didn't have the fascination of riding on something big that has a fucking 4-3-foot cock. I ain't fucking I didn't really fucking... It is. There's something about these girls wanting to ride on a big old man with a fucking three-foot fucking cock on it. Yeah, there's no denying what's going on. Fucking ridiculous.
And I do feel like a lot of young girls, because I remember, you know, being into horses when I was that age, and a lot of other girls I knew did.
Puberty, then.
Yeah. And then the next, like right when you're about 10 or 11.
Yeah, and then it's just something in a woman. Or in a girl, I guess.
So maybe, I don't know, it's not really, it seems like it's kind of a different thing with the big cat thing, though, because you can't really ride them, and you can't really, I mean, but it's the same thing, they're like a big, powerful animal.
Powers got teeth and claws.
And you can, like, you know, you can go and pet them and stuff like that, and like, you know, this could kill me, it's like, you know, you know, any kind of, like, it's the allure of, like, being dangerous and exotic and stuff like that. It's like, I can kind of see that, but pretty much, like I said, everyone in this is insane, and I do feel like... I mean, the shit that happened between Joe Exotic and between his rival, Carol Baskin, this just goes to show you whether or not she was bad or not, because there are some allegations against her that haven't been proven, so I'm not going to, you know, say anything about that, because I don't know if they're true or not. A lot of people seem to think they are. I don't know. I don't know what happened. But it just goes to show that even if she was doing, like, half of the stuff that he was, like, paranoid or that he accused her of doing, it really seems like... This is a thing where you don't put all your shit on social media, because the fact that he had all of these videos that he made, all of these things that he made, like, that were openly
illegal, openly fucking
threatening.
Yeah.
That type of stuff. It's like, that just seems like a really dumb thing to do.
He was a low IQ dude, a very low IQ dude with limited self-control.
Well, and no self-awareness.
No self-awareness,
And it does really seem like...
He didn't realize how things that he said and did and showed in video, how that could be used against him. What the fuck was he thinking?
And some of this stuff, it's like, I can see, like, making a video and saying something kind of dumb that is like... But this was like a big... This was like a sustained... Like, over and over and over again. And it's like, you should have known better, because it's like, when something, you know, ends up happening, like, later on... You know, everybody's going to know exactly what the fuck. Everybody's going to know who to go to.
He's sitting there basically making terroristic threats over and over and over and over again. And each one of those threats in the state of Florida probably carries about 5 years.
Yeah, and it's like...
On fucking public assets and fucking recording.
And he just
think,
like, on his web TV show, he thought nothing of it. That's what I'm saying. It's like, he didn't really have any self-awareness. I'm like, do you realize how that's making you look? And that if something...
Or the legal implications.
Or the legal implications of it. It's like, yeah. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't, like, make videos and post it on Facebook and say, I'm going to fucking shoot this,
that... I'm going to shoot this bitch.
Yeah,
I'm
you can't do that.
I'm going to cut this bitch's head off.
Especially nowadays. No. It's like, you might have been able to get away with it back in the fucking 70s or 80s or something.
No, you couldn't get away with it even back then.
Even back then, you probably couldn't. But, like, nowadays, really, you can't because...
It's a terroristic threat.
It is. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. And I don't think he saw it that way. I just think that they were all just kind of, like, so... Aw shucks, you know, down home, kind of like, they didn't think anything they did was a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's and it really got them in trouble.
I believe in freedom of speech and shit, you know, in the First Amendment. But you can't threaten to kill somebody to murder them.
No, you can't do that.
I'm going to kill this bitch. You can't do it.
And he wasn't just saying it.
He was
pulling
guns out and shooting stuff.
He was making videos like about fucking. It was like, it was just stupid. It was stupid.
You
should
be stupid.
You should never ever.
And of course, the law. Of course, a lawyer will fucking have a field day with you in a court of law with that shit.
Yeah.
And he's just dumbass.
Like I said, there's just the way that they acted like it was just no big.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we're just talking. It's just joking around.
Yeah, we're just they were just like making a big fucking joke about it. I'm like, yeah, that's like not funny.
Dumbass.
You know what I mean? And it's like, and it's no, people's not like curbing your free speech or nothing like that. It's like, you just can't do that.
Putting yourself
shit
out there. And if she, and here's another thing is that if you start making terroristic threats to some person and you don't ever plan on ever doing anything to that person, somebody else can overhear that and says, I could go
and
kill
do it.
That. I can kill that and bitch, and he'll get blamed for it.
Yeah,
and then they'll go out there and do it. You just
even
stupid.
If you don't do it,
you don't do that shit. Yeah,
someone else could see that and run
and
with
go,
it.
Like, oh, there's my opportunity.
Yeah, they'll blame it on that dude.
Right.
Which might, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
So you just—that's just putting yourself in a, like a really, really stupid situation. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it just seems like everyone in this is either stupid or crazy or both.
Or both.
But. That said, this is a really, really entertaining series because you just will not believe. I mean, if you don't know the particulars of the case and stuff, you will just not believe, like, the fucking batshit insane directions that this goes in. And it's just, like, fucking crazy. Like I said, it's the kind of thing where it's really entertaining and you just can't believe some of the stuff. And it's, like, hilarious and ridiculous and just outlandish and stuff. But then you also kind of feel bad because at the end of the day, like, these poor animals... that are just like sitting there going, what about us?
Yeah.
This is how this all started. And now it's just like all about these horrible people.
Yeah. No, the tigers looked well fed and, you know, the cats looked well fed. They were having a good time, but he had nearly 200 of them at one point.
Yeah.
And you know, that's not cool.
Yeah.
To be around so many cats. You can see them, you know, running around in circles and it just, that shit's dangerous. What if those things got out?
That's what I mean. It's like, how far away did he live from, like, his neighbors?
Yeah, he just
had... Because what if a whole pack of tigers...
Yeah, and he just had them in chicken wire fences, really.
Yeah, it's like it looked like they could get out easily. Because there's, like you said, there's a whole bunch of them, like, in some of the enclosures.
And you know, with the small crew that he had, they couldn't all... You couldn't entertain all those damn...
No, that's what I was thinking. He only had, like, a handful of people working there.
So a lot of them are like, what the fuck am I doing in here?
And they're not really trained. I mean, none of them were really trained. Yeah. It was cool that he gave them a job and everything like that, but they didn't know anything about... Right.
And the tiger... And the big cat population just keeps growing in there because they're impregnating each other.
Yeah.
And where are the cubs going? You know what I mean?
See, that's...
You know what?
Like I said, everybody in is up to shady shit.
Are they selling the cubs? They're fucking,
Everything's shady. And it's just, it's sad and horrifying.
It's sad that that's where most of your tiger, that's where your most of your big cats are.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what they're like. Even though the other places they showed were physically a lot nicer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the guy that had the harems, it looked like he was taking care of his cats pretty damn well.
Yeah, he didn't have as many though, I don't think.
He had a lot of money though. He had a whole neighborhood that he owned.
Yeah.
For his harem. And
He's like, yeah, the other wife lives there.
Yeah, she lives there, and that one lives there, and that one lives there. And they're like fucking big three-story beautiful houses. He had a shit ton of money. And where'd all that money come from?
Oh, I'm sure that was another shady thing.
Yeah.
Because like I said, everybody's this like fucking drug dealers or fucking
drug dealers
something.
Or selling cats or just there's all kinds of
it's
weird
ways.
It's
all black market shit.
Yeah.
All black market
and,
shit.
And he had a big habitat in there. I don't think he had 200 cats though.
That's what I mean. I think he had significantly fewer.
Yeah. And he was running his gray operation a little better. But I'm just assuming it's gray with the way that, you know,
Maybe, I think that's a pretty safe assumption.
Pretty safe assumption when you see the that scene in its entirety.
Like I said,
it looks like all of them were kind of doing gray shit.
Yeah, I don't think anybody in this.
Yeah, nobody in this.
I'm sure everybody in this was doing at least one illegal
thing. All that exotic animal, I don't want to call it a business because legally it's not a business, but that exotic animal scene is gray.
Yeah, big time.
But I think they tolerate it. I think the feds tolerate it because they realize that that's where most of those exotic animals are.
Yeah.
That's how they exist in today's world.
Yeah.
That without those guys, it all vanishes, and all those animals along with it.
And they'd all be gone.
They'd all be gone. So that
means it's kind of like a necessary evil, almost like maybe.
And I think it's only, I think it's temporary. Eventually, they'll probably make it to where they'll change laws to, eventually these animals have to evolve alongside man somehow.
Yeah.
You know?
Because, you know, no one wants them to go extinct.
You don't want them to go extinct.
So I don't know. It's like I said,
they make a good pet, but they're dangerous for, you can't have them in apartments. You can't fucking just let any old person own one.
That's what I'm saying. This is just kind of like one of those things where
they got to put up with it for now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And then hopefully we can get to a stage where only people that are like professional and trained and stuff like that can have it and just don't let, don't let a bunch of yahoos just like keep this with like no oversight or no anything.
If they had arrested that yahoo who had the 200 cats, or we're talking about what would happen to all those cats.
That's what I mean.
They put all them cats down.
That's why everything, every decision about this is like shitty. There's like no good outcome. And it's really, really sad.
So in a way, he was kind of holding all those cats hostage. They couldn't do anything against him because we would have to put all those cats down.
Yeah, no one wants to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, so it just seems like I said, it just seems like everything. That's what I meant when I meant that, yes, this is a hilarious watch and a lot of the shit's hilarious and crazy and everything, but it's also really kind of sad, like in the end. So it kind of makes you feel like, man, I shouldn't have watched it. Like, it makes you feel dirty, kind of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
At least he had him basically in his own personal zoo.
Yeah.
It's basically what it was.
Yeah. I want to say, like, I was reading another review of this earlier. I can't remember where I got it from. But I loved this quote from the review. It said, "I'd describe it as like watching a slow motion car crash, but only if that car crashed into a jet plane and then both tumbled into an oil tanker."
Yeah. Yeah.
This is very much like that. Is you guys... if we haven't got you like hyped for it, like the last couple times we talked about this, you really, really have to watch this.
It's the best thing on right now.
You won't believe it. I mean, seriously, you won't believe the crazy fucking shit that happens in this. It's literally unbelievable.
And what happened at the damn funeral? Fuck, man. I had to
laugh the most.
I had to get up and walk around in a circle.
I was wheezing.
She was sitting there watching me, and I'm like, what the fuck?
I know, we were like,
what the fuck? Yeah, it did.
That was a facepalm moment for sure.
What that dude said just fucking made me just fucking blew my fucking mind. What he said at the damn eulogy. Shit.
I know. I just couldn't believe it. I was just sitting there like wheezing, like I was laughing at it, and like just from disbelief. I'm like, holy fucking crap. Is this real life?
Yeah.
How is this real life? It's like a parallel dimension.
My fucking mind exploded.
But yeah, seriously, it's on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, I know it's like so much hype and like all the reviewers are like, this is the craziest shit ever and you have to watch it. You do. You gotta watch it. It's fucking crazy. Alright, third movie we watched this week just dropped on Shudder yesterday or the day before. This is Daniel Isn't Real.
Yeah, this is by the same company that did Color Out of Space and Mandy.
Yeah, Spectre Vision. Who was Elijah Wood. You know, he is his production company, among other people.
So far, everything from that company looks fucking awesome.
It really does. Yeah. They have, you know, they have like a really cool style.
Yeah.
This one is not so trippy, but it definitely has elements. Like, you can tell that it came from the same production company.
Yeah, about this dude who gets possessed by a demon. When he was a kid, he thought it was his imaginary friend. But, man, it's pretty good. That's a spoiler. But that's how you get people to watch the damn movie. When I thought the movie started slowly. I was like, at first. But then it picked up, and I liked it a lot better, you know, about like a half hour into it, 20 minutes into it.
Yeah.
It had a pretty good beginning, but then it just kind of, I don't know, it just got better as it went.
Yeah,
I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that it didn't have damn old crazy fucking, what's
Nicolas
his name? Nicolas Cage in it. Nicolas Cage, man, he's a fucking... That dude's the shit. He'll get me to watch a movie. He's very polarizing, you know. A lot of people, you know, I don't like Nick. I love Nicolas Cage.
I think most people love Nicolas
Cage. Dude's fucking nuts.
Because, like I said, he fucking commits, man.
Yeah.
He'll just do crazy shit. He doesn't care.
But, you know, it was still a good movie.
This actually had its premiere, I think, a year ago at South by Southwest. But they just released it to digital and theaters, I think, in December of last year. So this is a fairly recent movie. Now, I guess because it had done the horror circuit, so I'd been hearing about it because some people saw it at the, you know, horror conventions and were reviewing it and stuff. So I was looking forward to seeing it. So I was really happy that that Shudder just added it. It was directed by Adam Egypt Mortimer. I think this is his second movie. He also did one called Some Kind of Hate, which Shudder also has, but I haven't watched it yet. So now I'll definitely have to watch it because I really liked this movie a lot. And it's based on a novel called In This Way I Was Saved by Brian DeLue, who also co-wrote the screenplay with the director. Now, the guy, I don't know if you know this, and I didn't know this when I was watching it. Like, I saw it in the credits, but I was kind of like, oh, I wonder. The guy that plays Daniel as an adult,
yeah,
that is Patrick Schwarzenegger.
Oh, okay.
That is Arnie's son.
That's Arnie, okay.
The son of, and Maria Shriver is his mom. So, he's in this, like, as the imaginary friend, as a grown-up. So, what we have here is we start out with a character named Luke as a kid, and you see that he has an imaginary friend who kind of comes to him at a traumatic time. I don't want to ruin that kind of like that early opening scene.
Movie starts off with a bang.
It does, yeah. And you think for a second that this might be real, like a real person, but as the time goes on, like his mom like doesn't see him and all this other kind of stuff. But Daniel becomes, you know, Luke's best friend. Now, the mom is played by Mary Stuart Masterson. As soon as I saw her, I was like, hey, it's what's her name from Some Kind of Wonderful, the John Hughes movie. She was also in Fried Green Tomatoes. She was in Benny and June and stuff like that. I haven't seen her in a long time, but she was like immediately recognizable. I mean, she's older now, obviously, but she still looks enough like her character back in the 80s that I immediately recognized her. So she's in this a little bit. And basically what happens is that while they're both kids, you can see that Daniel is, let's call it a bad influence on Luke. So he gets, they kind of like trap him like in this dollhouse. And then many years go by, you get, Luke is in college and he's having some problems. His mom, who had some mental problems, they established at the beginning, the mental problems have gotten worse and worse. She kind of has a sort of nervous breakdown. They're hinting that it's a schizophrenia or something of that nature. And it's untreated because she doesn't trust doctors. So he kind of has to go home and care for her. At which point, he releases Daniel from the dollhouse again. And you're thinking that this really gave me a Fight Club meets Jacob's Ladder meets They Look Like People, if I had to like compare it. It's like those three mashed up, but it also has like a lot of body horror in it.
It's got good practical effects.
They are very good. Yeah. And that's like there's some visuals in this that are like real trippy.
I like this company. This company uses practical effects and CG, but they use them the right way and they use them intelligently. You know what I mean? They will CG to, do color and to, you know what I mean? And to have fucking cool effects or to make like small creatures that you have to do CG. And then they'll do CG overlaying on top to enhance practical effects.
Yeah.
But because there's a practical effect at the core, it looks like it's really there because it is.
Because it is.
So they do it right.
That's how CGI should be used.
And I also like the company. They make, these are low to mid budget movies, but they're punching way above their fucking weight. And they kind of remind me of the old horror movies like From Beyond and, Reanimator and all the classics. Like they're the kind of movie that, you know, oh, what's his name would be in?
Jeffrey Combs.
Jeffrey Combs. You know what I'm talking about. It's kind of a movie Jeffrey Combs would have been in back in the day. But they're done to a much higher standard than what we had back in the 80s and the 90s. But it's that same underground vibe to them, if you ask me. Do you feel that?
Yeah. And definitely in this one gave me a look. This was actually set in and shot in New York City, which is pretty unusual for a low budget movie like this, because it's very expensive to film in New York City, but they actually did shoot there.
And in this one, I would say the highlight of this movie are those practical effects and Schwarzenegger. I didn't know that was a Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I saw his name in the credits and
he's the strong point of the movie, really.
Yeah.
The acting is good throughout. You know, everybody in it is good. But he was shining, if you ask me.
Yeah.
You saw that too?
And
that's not anything had to do with his last name.
Because he didn't know who it was.
I didn't know until right now. I was just, he was really the best part of the movie. So I think he's got a future ahead of him.
He's been in a couple movies, but I haven't seen him in it. This is the first thing I've seen him
in. You give this kid the right material, the right role and shit. I'm calling him a kid, you know. I'm fucking 50. He's probably 30-something, right?
You're all kids, yeah.
He's probably 30-something. In the right role, man, he'd be good.
He's a very Patrick Bateman role in this.
Yeah.
Because the thing about it, and like I said, the thing that reminds me of Fight Club, too, is that what you're getting is that initially, the imaginary friend, Daniel, seems to be a positive influence because he's kind of getting Luke to come out of his shell. He's getting him to be more social. He's getting him to, like, take up hobbies and, you know, just be more outgoing and stuff, which is good. But then it gets to a point pretty quickly where shit starts going sideways because you already know from the beginning, like, the shit that happened with his mom at the beginning when he was a kid, that you know that Daniel is not an entirely good influence and that there's something, you know, more sinister going on. But initially it seems like, oh, you know, maybe this is good. He's kind of getting out of his shell and he's taking up photography and he's meeting women and he's doing all this kind of stuff, which he wasn't really doing before because he was kind of shy. And he also has a thing where he's kind of worried that he's inherited his mother's mental illness, which, you know, that's understandable because schizophrenia is heritable to some degree. So he's kind of had that going on, but then it just kind of gets worse and worse. And like I said, they spend a while, and the thing that reminded me of They Look Like People, which was also about a dude with schizophrenia that saw demons and stuff, that one was a lot more low-key, but also really creepy. This one is kind of like that in the sense that you get the relationship between these two characters, and you initially maybe think that it's the same person, or that Daniel is just, like, a representation of his mental illness, and he can control it. But then as the story goes on, you learn that that's, you know, spoiler alert, not the case. Tom already spoiled it, like, too. I'll have to put spoiler in the title just so people will know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think that's teaser, though. Had I known it was a story about demonic possession from the very beginning, I probably would have paid closer attention that first 20 minutes. Now I want to see this thing again.
It's definitely is something that is going to need a rewatch, I think. Because, I mean, there's just such a great, it's a great idea. Like, I haven't read the novel, but it's, I didn't really know that it was based on a novel until, like, after I saw it. But it's just, the visuals are cool. It's not, like I said, it's not as trippy as, you know, Mandy. Obviously, there's not a lot of movies that are as trippy as that, or not even as trippy as Color Out of Space.
Yeah.
It has moments like that.
Yeah.
It lets
you know it's that same company.
Yeah, you can tell. And the soundscapes are similar, and like the really good musical choices.
Yeah.
I really liked the musical choices that they made, and I liked the kind of like ambient soundscape was really good.
We have Color Out of Space on Blu-ray. I'm glad we got it. I got to get Mandy now. Might throw this one in on it too. So far, man, this company's given me, you know, some
quality entertainment.
Yeah, and it's giving me hope that it's going to be good. Confidence. You say I got some confidence in this company now. I'll probably buy everything that they make if it remains as good as it is. Now, this company claiming to make that they're going to make Dunwich Horror using the director
with the same director from
Color Out of Space, because that guy's and that dude's fucking proved to me that he can do a Lovecraft tale. Now, I'd like to see Schwarzenegger in that. In Dunwich Horror.
Yeah.
Imagine if they had him cast in there.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
That would probably work out well.
I think. Playing, or I don't know, maybe they figured out a good role for him.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the dude, the half goat man. half Shagoth fucking Nyarlathotep motherfucker. What was it?
You know what I'm talking about.
Maybe he could play the I guess he was kind of the main character in Dunwich Horror.
Yeah.
The half-human.
Imagine that would definitely be good. I do tend to like you said, that it does seem like a lot of horror movies, particularly, well, I mean, mostly indie ones, are kind of going back to
the roots.
The roots, like, yeah, you know, the 70s, the 80s, yeah, that are kind of like going more in that direction with practical good effects.
Shit.
You know,
good shit was always low budget done right.
Yeah.
Even Arnie's movies, Terminator 1, Predator 1, Commando, those were low budget movies.
Yeah.
But they're awesome. Yeah. They're even for the day, they were kind of low budget movies. But you wouldn't know it by watching them.
Yeah.
And they stand, you know, they've stood the test of time. Terminator 1 didn't cost much to make. You know,
I definitely Predator feel like if you have a good idea, you have good actors, yeah, you have people who really care about how the movie comes out,
yeah,
you don't need a lot of money. In fact, sometimes I think too much money is a detriment.
That's what I was thinking.
Because
too much corruption gets involved.
It's easy to like lean, yeah, on easy solutions, yeah, or like, you know, crowd pleasing type stuff. Too, yeah, much CGI.
Too many cooks in the damn kitchen. Everybody's hiring their brother-in-law to fucking do this effect and that effect and all.
Well, and everything's done by committee and shit like that. Which
you don't want that.
You're not really gonna get best.
Commando wasn't made that way. Terminator 1, Predator 1. Those are my favorite movies of all times. Even a fucking Total Recall wasn't made that. I was an Arnold Schwarzenegger fan. Jenny knows I got all the Blu-rays.
Yeah.
Except True Lies, and that's only on DVD. But, and even Maggie and Aftermath, I had that too. I'm an Arnold Schwarzenegger watcher, you know. I didn't know this was his son, but he was the high point of this movie.
Yeah, like I said, he comes off very much like a Patrick Bateman sort of character, yeah, which I think is, you know, what they were shooting for.
He was good with it, yeah.
Yeah, he did really good. But yeah, this is really good. Like I said, if you like Jacob's Ladder, it has like a similar kind of trippy thing to that, or Fight Club, or something like that. But it's almost kind of like, it's psychological horror, but then there's body horror and thriller elements also. So it's, yeah, and it's like a really successful crossover. It seems to be getting like really, really good reviews. And even like I said, when it first came out, like at all the conventions, your festivals, like everybody that saw it, that's why it was like, I was kind of hyped to see it, because there've been like a lot of really good buzz about it. And now, like I said, I'm going to have to see this guy's other movie, because I'm pretty sure that's on Shudder as well. Yeah. But if you have Shudder, they just added this just a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And it is definitely worth checking out if you are a fan of any of the other movies, yeah, that I mentioned.
My only gripe about the movie is the pacing in that first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Started off with a bang, and then it kind of slowed down. It was good. It slowed down a little bit, and then it kind of slowed back down a little bit more. And I kind of lost a little bit of interest for a few minutes. And then it came back.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to see it again.
Yeah, this is one I definitely want to give a rewatch, yeah, to, because I think I missed some stuff in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, yeah, one of those ones that you kind of have to like.
Watch it again. If I like it, I'll buy it on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And definitely got to get Mandy on Blu-ray.
Well, yeah, because I thought you already had that, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought I did too, but I don't think I have it.
Yeah.
I got to go through there and look.
Yeah, yeah, you have so many movies. I don't really know which ones. But yeah, this is definitely, if you have Shudder, check it out. It's really good. Definitely worth watching, especially if you like any of the other movies that I mentioned, like Fight Club or, you know, Jacob's Ladder or anything like that. This, yeah, is kind of like
I can't wait for Dunwich Horror.
Yeah, I know. I really, really hope they fucking, yeah, make that.
And then I also want to see in the Mountains of Madness.
Yeah.
I want them to make that, too.
Yeah, somebody needs to make that.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple movies that were sort of similar to that, or like loosely based. Like there was one called, yeah, Black Mountainside, which I think might be on Tubi for free. And that kind of has a similar premise a little bit.
Imagine if this company did Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah, see, that'd be good.
Damn.
We're speculating.
That'd be like making Lovecraft. King Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That definitely would be cool.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, so check this one out. Definitely worth watching.